Well, God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of sins. I thought that maybe after the first service, that 1 hour of less sleep would have kicked in. I would have gotten all my energy back. Anyone else a little bit worn out today? Does that hour affect you? Just me and George. Okay, not so bad. It's just you and I. So I just don't give you enough time to process those questions. But we're talking about the disciples being sent. And one of the members coming out of their first service today says, "Pastor, can you imagine being sent and only allowed to take one outfit? I mean, what kind of a deal is that? How do you go on a trip and that before?" But the disciples are certainly sent into a unique situation. And we want to look at that sending as we look at this whole year of 2022 as that great sending of God's mission, the jubilation that God has come and sent us on a beautiful mission. Last week we looked at that calling, and today we see that God, Son, Jesus, is sending these 72 disciples into the towns and villages because, as we talked about last week, it's their calling. It's what they do. It's how it's carried out. They weren't looking for excuses or not trained up enough or not enough Bible studies, not enough years under the belt. It was their calling, and when Jesus says go, they went. And then a little bit from last Wednesday's Lenten service too, the craftsmen. Zechariah talked about the craftsmen of the church. That each of us in our time and spot in life, whether it be restoring the temple walls, proclaiming the name, helping other people, the craftsmen are designed by God to touch the lives of other people as he has called us to do. So we have this calling, we have this skill set that God places on us, and he sends us. But let's look a little bit more deeply of just how this really works. And this slide, touched by Jesus, may be the only slide that will be of great importance to us this morning. Because if we don't get the touched by Jesus slide, the rest of the message just kind of falls on easy ignoring the pastor once again. Because if you don't get the touched by Jesus, you simply are a clanging gong and a noisemaker. Because being touched by Jesus means the God of love has come unto you and into your life. He has come unto you and let you know that you need a Savior because of our sin, and he comes into our lives and he touches us. Because if we truly got what we deserved, we should only have condemnation. But he takes condemnation, and by him touching our lives, he turns it into everlasting life. The judgment to be in a mansion being prepared for us. So being touched by Jesus is very important. Touched by him in the baptism. Touched by him in the supper. Touched by him by the Holy Spirit that transforms us to the renewing of our minds and our bodies to take on the calling that he has given us, the sending that he's given to us. So he touched by Jesus, the old Adam, our own sinful nature, is drowned. Touched by Jesus in the Lord's Supper, where we are strengthened and enlivened and continue to proclaim the good news of having the very body and blood of Jesus in us, the resurrection coming straight into our lives. And of course, all in the Holy Spirit, as that Word of God comes to us and lets us know, here is God, here is your relationship to him. Either you have been touched with grace and mercy, receiving what you don't deserve by grace, and holding back that condemnation by the mercy of God. And when that touching of that good news comes upon us, it changes our identity. It takes us out of what the world has to offer. What the world has to offer is for us pretty much just to sit around and critique other people, evaluate stuff, and complain about it. That's the way of the world. Touched by Jesus says, what's that calling that I have? How am I that craftsman? How am I growing in my faith on a daily basis? How am I being immersed in the Word of God? Can somebody help me figure all this stuff out? Because I've been touched by Jesus. the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The world simply kind of spins its wheels and tries to make itself as comfortable as possible. But when you're touched by Jesus, the calling becomes alive, and we discover who he is. But after we're touched by Jesus, we get that calling, then he begins to teach us. He teaches his word, he teaches his identity, he teaches us our identity, he gives us who we are. And so when he sends us, he says, don't worry about the fear, don't worry about the words, because I'm with you in this. So he's teaching us. At Lakeside, we like to use the definition of a disciple is someone who believes Jesus, follows Jesus, and shares Jesus. This is that following and that believing thing that he teaches us who he is. This is that creedal response. We're taught our relationship with him, who we are in response to him, and what do we have to deliver? What do we have to give to those who are still in darkness? What do we give out on our sending? And that's exactly that third piece. That planting Jesus, sharing Jesus, being sent by Jesus with the authority of the gospel. The hymn that we just sang kind of encompasses the whole thing. Verse by verse, it goes through and it explains who we are in Jesus and what we give out because we belong to Jesus. Because we are sent by Jesus into our homes, into the places where we work, into the places where we play, into the spots where we hang out, into the pathways that which we navigate life. These are the places in which we are sent. Those are our towns and our villages that we have in our lives that we're sent into. Friday, I had lunch with a pastor friend of mine from Minnesota. He happened to be seeing his father, who is now living in Fort Myers, and he says, let's grab lunch. So we had lunch, and we were sharing the problems and situations of pastoral ministry. And he was sharing with me, and he says, the church that is waiting for people to come are on the way out. The church that sends people into relationships sees miracles. You know, that's just an amazing thing to really grab on. And the modern church simply hopes and says, well, maybe if we build it, they will come, because there's a movie about that. Jesus says, I am sending you into darkness. And it's not always going to be easy. And so he sends them two by two. And we can list lots of reasons why they're sent two by two. The one I want to highlight here today is for encouragement. That you encourage one another in that sending of two by two. That you go there. We don't give up. We don't turn back. We don't walk away. We encourage. We keep it up until we go back and be refilled by the Word of God in word and sacrament so that we don't burn out. An example of that in my life is that years ago, I had a friend of mine that we would go into the shopping malls of West Des Moines, Iowa, and there we would cold call people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just start talking with them and seeing where they're at and what they're about. And he was a master at this, and he would take me along and says, now, all I want you to do, Dave, is pray. You pray for that person's heart and pray that the Holy Spirit is working through me so that amazing things can happen. And I don't know how many years and how many people he's taken with him and taught them and led them up. And then finally, one time he shared with me why he does this. And we may think of lots of different reasons why, but he was in a mall years ago and someone came to him and confronted him. And his life was changed forever. So it was a very important ministry to him. To have that happen. But he never would want to go alone, because you need that encouragement, that someone with you, to hang in there. Let's do this along that way. And he's just a great mentor as well. So we see that we have been sent with authority with the gospel that we just sang about in our hymn. This is what we have. It's not a big deal. It's simply Jesus Christ crucified and risen, because our lives are broken. It's simply the love of God that loves us in a world that simply wants us to be living in fear of what goes on in a broken world. We're the only ones in this world that can bring hope over our sin into everlasting life. All the wisdom of the world can only offer selfishness and defeat. So we have this authority of the gospel where we're sent into our marriages, we're sent into our parenting, we're sent into our grandparenting, we're sent into our relationships as godparents. We're sent into big situations of life with the gospel. And there, that authority continues. I've given you this authority of the gospel for proclamation. And what this really proclamation means is a really nice big Greek word for this that simply says, here's what I'm saying. I am telling you, I am planting the good news of Jesus in this conversation. And we have that authority to proclaim sin and a Savior. It's not very complicated until you get pastors starting to talk about it. Then it gets pretty complicated. But it's pretty simplistic as God gives it to the church. So we get sent with this authority and with these great acts of mercy. When he sent out these 72, I'm sending you with the gospel, I'm sending you to proclaim, and I'm sending you with these great acts of mercy. You're going to be touching the lives of people. And it's my authority. I am going to be doing it through you. Don't worry about success. Don't worry about whether it's all going to go well or good or anything. I'm calling you to go on that sending. I'm sending you with the gospel, I'm sending you with authority, and I'm sending you with acts of mercy. Now, we can't really debate this. We can't say, well, that's for a committee, or that's for the pastor, that's for this team. You know, we get all that stuff for thousands of years. All the excuses, oh, Jesus, oh, I don't think this is for me, I'm too young. Or Moses or Jeremiah saying, "What? I'm just a youth, what do I know about any of this stuff?" You know, we get all the excuses throughout time, I'm afraid, I'm not skilled, and all, and it just blathers on, but Jesus simply says it in all the earth, it is Jesus, the one who died and rose for you, I am sending you. It's not the pastor that's sending you. It's not a church committee that's sending you. It's not even the congregation that's sending you. It's not the church on earth that's sending you. It's the one who looked at you and said, your sins are forgiven, as he hung on the cross into our lives. This is where this great sending, the mission of God, comes from. That missio Dei of God, that sending of Jesus into our lives. And so, what are those towns and villages? Well, we kind of answered this along the way already. It's into the lives of the people in which you see their eyes, touch their hands, have peace in their conversations, people that will serve you, people that you will serve. People that listen to your conversation because you're in a loving, trusting relationship with them. That's that connection that we have, those life-on-life developments of those relationships that give us that great permission to be Jesus in the lives of others. So we discover what those towns and villages are, but we never, ever give up. We keep on going. In the face of the world, we just keep on going because we know there's this, what we call evil directed opposition. I like that little phrase. It's kind of fresh. It simply says the world and the devil simply wants to quiet you. The world and the devil wants to fill you with fear. The world and the devil wants to stop you and keep you irrelevant. Just stay in your pews and do your thing there. And when we do our thing in the pews in order to be equipped to go into our relationships, to be sent into them, empowered, forgiven, saved, and enlivened by God's holy word. And so that evil directive, that directed opposition is nothing to sneeze at. It's very powerful. We can't take it for granted then and slough it off because it really wants to stifle, stop, and stunt the church. That's why we dig deep into the touch richness of Jesus upon us, the baptismal powers upon us, the body and blood of Jesus in, with, and under us. That is that strength of the authority to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in the midst of evil-directed opposition. But let's talk a little bit more about what I know, self-directed opposition. All the things that I can do to try and stop me from being effective with my attitude, with my self-centeredness, with wanting people to serve me, I'm wanting to be comfortable, all the stuff that I can blather out that stops and opposes the sending that God gives us to be the love of Jesus beyond ourselves. This is where that being touched by Jesus raises up. We can identify very easily how the world acts and what it says. But when we are identified as being the people of Christ Jesus, that's amazing. I was at lunch with a friend of mine earlier in this week in the Venice area, and I was sitting down, and I saw this one waitress jumping around and doing her own thing, but I was able to spot what she wore. She had on a lakeside cross pin, and it was given to her months and months ago, but she's still wearing it. And I didn't get a chance to slow her down to talk to her about it, but I will. I'll be there again. And I said, "Where did you get that cross?" And it's an amazing. There's a friend of mine that I talked to this last week, and she was saying, "Oh, I got to get this and done in my house." And they gave me this window, you know, this 4-hour window, whatever it is, from 10 to 2. And I simply said, "Oh, no, that's not going to work out for me. I got stuff to do at church." You know, who talks that way? I mean, you normally, okay, you just don't do the stuff at church, and you get yourself nice and comfortable with whatever you need at your house. And she goes, "You know, years ago I wouldn't have, but now I got my priorities straight." And I thought, what a great witness to me and to the person that's on the phone and to the person that's supposed to come. That Jesus risen is way more important than that window that the world wants to give us to work within. But let's talk about the return before we run out of time here this morning. Jesus sent those 72 out, and they did their thing, and then they returned. And that's a whole chapter later, in chapter 10. And here's what goes on in this return when Jesus is going to have this conversation of all what's going to happen on this. He says, the 72 returned with joy. They were all excited and happy, saying, "Lord, even the demons," those who are supposed to be oppressing us, "even the demons are subject to us in your name." The disciples are like high-fiving. I mean, they're doing human pyramids, and they're doing all these great and wonderful things. Well, maybe not human pyramids, but they were excited and happy. They were just thrilled. I mean, look at all what was going on, and they're just all smiles, and they just like won the Super Bowl. And Jesus himself said to them, he said to them, "I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven." I mean, he was mad. He was angry. He was beat up. He was dejected. You know, you guys went out and proclaimed Jesus, the proclamation of the gospel with great authority, and he had to run. And they're so excited about this. And then Jesus swoops in with the next line. He says, "Behold," he says, "calm down. Here's what I got to say. I have given you authority over all this power of the enemy, and nothing is going to hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in your accomplishments, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven." Don't be so excited about, you get all thrilled up, pat yourself on the back, "Look what we all accomplished. Boy, do I feel good and wonderful and fulfilled and all that." That's all beautiful stuff, and Jesus rejoices in that stuff. It's like Satan has fallen from like a lightning bolt from heaven. But find your motivation, find your self-esteem, find your go-to-itness in the gospel of Jesus Christ that has saved you unto eternal life, because Jesus knows every one of those 72 are going to face it in a tough spot. They had great victory in this 72 first sending, But they're all going to be finding out that when you become the light in darkness, in a broken world, it gets pretty tough. And so he makes sure that they're all touched by Jesus in the resurrection of Jesus Christ for eternal life. We go because Jesus has saved me and I'm written in the book of life. There is no condemnation in store for me. There is resurrection. There is life. There is eternal peace and fellowship with Christ. But for now, I take on the full armor of God in my sentness. Because how blessed are the sent. How crabby are those who sit and wait. How blessed are those who've been touched by Jesus that proclaim his goodness. How fed up are those with human beings because they're static in their own life. How blessed are the sent that are persecuted in my name. How bored are those who observe the world with nothingness. God's mission came to you and I, just as it came to the prophets, just as it came to those who've gone before us, just as it's going to come in good news of those coming in front of us. By the way, someone came out of the first service today and said, I'm expecting. Now, how often do you hear that at a lakeside, right? Good news, there's more coming after us. God's mission has come to you and I. He has come to us with his hand of crucifixion and his hand of resurrection, forgiving us by paying the price for us, holding us in eternal life. That when it seems at the darkest hour, we the church sing because our name is written in the book of life. We in our darkest hours proclaim the good name of Jesus Christ because our name is written in the book of life. We who when we seem we're the only one left that believes in Jesus, we sing louder. Because our name is written in the book of life. Jonah was not up for listening. He went another direction. The early church around Peter, they sat around those letters and they read the word of the Lord and they listened. The disciples sat at Jesus' feet and he listened. They all listened to him. And eventually, he simply said, now is the time for you to be sent. The mission of the world is through my church. It's not a waiting church. It's a listening, being sent church. That's the good news. Because we stand saved in Jesus Christ with the greatest news ever. Perhaps the next time you talk with one of the grandkids or one of your own kids or the neighbor nearby, let them know the beauty of Jesus is with you and them. And there's nothing they can do to ever change that. Because God is love, and he reaches into our lives, and there it overflows. That is the beauty of Jesus coming to the cross for us. His sacrifice of eternal life has overflowed upon us. That is our identity. That is our sending. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.